Well, hello, this is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth again, and I welcome you and thank you for listening in today. Today we're going to be going back into our study of the letter C, the church. We have learned many, many things so far from the scriptures concerning the church and the truth of what the Bible says concerning the truth of the church. We've talked about what the church is and what the meaning of the word church in the scriptures is, and the body of Christ, and the body, ye are the body of Christ, where the Bible has told us that. We've learned that the church is a New Testament institution. We've learned that the church is an assembly. We've also learned several things concerning assembly, and that is that it's local, that it's visible, that it's organized, and that it's also constituted and made up of the right things that would belong in a church, or belong to the church and with the church. Okay, and the New Testament church has a head, we talked about that, and the local church, a local assembly, the local church has officers. And then we came to the part where the local church makes decisions. Remember, we discussed that whenever they voted on the deacons and decided who the deacons were going to be. And they also had to make a decision of who was going to take Judas Iscariot's place among the apostles. And they voted on that. So the next thing that we're going to talk about is that the local church is an independent institution. But I want to correct something from one of my last recordings, or one of the last recordings. And I want to give you the scriptures that we had on the church, that the church makes decisions. So if you have your pencil, let me go ahead and give those to you now. Are you ready? Okay, the church makes decisions. We talked about Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. We talked about Acts chapter 1, verse 15 through 26, and we read Matthew chapter 18, verse 17, and we also read Matthew chapter 18, verse 18. Okay, and that'll take us on into our next study today, which is the local church is an independent institution. Now, I made a mistake last time, and you probably caught me when I said it. And you're probably waiting for me to correct it, and I'm glad you are, because if I ever make a mistake concerning Scripture, it's completely unintentional, I assure you. I believe that God's words are His individual words, make up His words, and they're just as inspired as His entire makeup of His word is, and that we shouldn't mess with them, and that we are warned not to mess with them and not to change them. And I go out of my way to try not to do that, and God the Holy Ghost has been very kind to me about that. But one thing I said last week when we were talking, I think it was even talking about there in Matthew, or I think it was Matthew, where they were trying to choose out Judas Iscariot, another replacement. And I said that Judas did deceive the Lord, like I said. I said that Judas deceived the Lord. But he didn't deceive the Lord. The Bible said he betrayed the Lord. And I knew that when I said it, but the Holy Ghost didn't click it with me until later on. So I try to write these things down immediately after I do it to correct them. I said that Judas deceived the Lord. You can't deceive the Lord. But I said that in that last recording. And if you caught that, God bless you and good for you. And the more that you study the Word, the more you're going to find out that God the Holy Ghost is going to bring those things out to you when you hear them. He's our teacher, and He'll bring those things out that are true, and He'll bring the things out that are false, and enlighten you about it, and you can catch me in my boo-boos. Okay, so I stand corrected, and the scriptures say that he betrayed the Lord. He did not deceive the Lord. So we'll go on past that, and we'll go into today's study of the local church as an independent institution. Now, what we're talking about with an independent institution is, remember, we said that there were many, many, many local churches throughout the world, and the Lord established, and He's the head of all of them. And Christ is the head, and we are the body. But the body is broken into local geographical places that are called local assemblies and local churches. Now, the local church is an independent institution. In other words, one local church does not control another local church. That is unscriptural, and there's nowhere in the scriptures where you see one local church controlling another local church or telling them what to do. The scriptures alone, sola scriptura, the scriptures alone, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the head, and the scriptures rule each local independent church, okay, as an independent institution. Now, each local church, local New Testament church is independent, and what we mean by that is in Acts chapter 15, let me give you an example. I'll read the scripture. Acts chapter 15, starting at verse 18, the Bible says, "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God." Now, this is the church of Jerusalem talking about a visit from the church of Antioch. Antioch had some questions about that they needed some questions about living right and righteousness and what's right and what's wrong. And they came to Jerusalem to find out the answer, the church at Jerusalem. The church of Antioch came to the church of Jerusalem to find out what the answers were. And that's what we're reading right here. "Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them," Jerusalem writing unto Antioch, "that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then it pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. And they wrote letters by them after this manner: the apostles and elders and brethren sending greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia." So see, Syria and Cilicia was also involved in that too. "For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from among us have troubled you with words," there were people aggravating these churches, these Gentile churches, aggravating them and telling them, "You ought to be doing this, and you ought to be doing that, and you ought to be doing this." Well, they submitted, they went to Jerusalem to talk about it and find out what the truth was from the apostles. And then when Jerusalem talked it over and everything, then they sent Barsabas and Paul and Barnabas and Silas and the chief men, and they went to Antioch to give them the answer and tell them what we just got through talking about, that what they should abstain from and this, that, and the other. But listen what the scripture says: "For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from among us have troubled you with words, subverting your soul, saying ye must be circumcised." Okay, now there's the law trying to get back in the church. "And keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment." Now, that ought to be something about your salvation right there that tells you that keeping the law has nothing to do with you being saved, because the apostles just said out of their own mouth they didn't give that kind of commandment. And if they didn't give it, then the Lord didn't give it. "It seemed good unto us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul, men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent therefore Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth, for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost." Now, there's God right there. It seemed, there's the third person of the Godhead that is speaking through all of this. For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. In other words, we're not going to tell you to live by the law, thou shalt do this and thou shalt do that and thou shalt do this. Salvation is by grace through faith in believing what Jesus Christ did, his death, burial, and resurrection. And these people were troubling these churches, telling them a bunch of lies, and they used to be in the church, and notice it said that they were in the church and then they left the church. Then they started some trouble with the church. Same thing goes on today. And it said that you abstain from meats offered to idols and from blood and from things strangled and from fornication, from which if you keep yourselves, ye shall do well. Okay, it didn't say anything about being saved. It said you shall do well. In other words, your Christian walk will be good. It'll be well. You're not going to, you shall do well. Fare ye well. So when they were dismissed, they came to Antioch, and when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the epistle. The epistle is a what? It's a letter that was written from Jerusalem to these churches, Antioch specifically, which when they had heard, they rejoiced for the consolation. And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Now, what we're talking about is the local church is an independent institution. Notice that one church went to another local church wanting to know what the Bible said, and went to the authorities, the apostles, to find out what's going on about these matters, because they were being, I forget what the word they used in the scriptures, but they were being deceived by people that they should be circumcised and keep the law and things like this. They were subverting them. They were changing their minds and putting them under a burden that Jesus had taken off of them, you see. And they were trying to put this church back under the law and teach them these things. And Antioch wanted to know what the truth was. They went to Jerusalem and they discussed the matter, and I guess Antioch went back home, and then the council, the apostles and everybody discussed it, and they wrote a letter and they sent these respected men, Paul and Barnabas and Barsabas and Silas, sent them to Antioch and read the letter to them and told them what they thought. But at no time did they command them anything. They didn't tell them anything that they had to do or didn't do. They just helped them in the scriptures to understand what the Word of God said. And notice that they also said that for it seemed good to the Holy Ghost. There's God's opinion in this. And to us, there's the agreement with the Lord and His Word, to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Talking about don't get involved with idols and don't drink blood and stay away from strangled things. And I don't exactly know what that meant, but fornication, that's New Testament. And most of these are New Testament things that the Lord tells us anyway through the Apostle Paul, but notice that they wasn't telling them in any way that they had to be back up under the law, or that they had to put no greater burden on their shoulders or yoke on them. Jesus said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So see, but what we're talking about is an independent institution. It is okay for a church to advise another church and for them to get together on what the Bible says and what the truth is and things like that. But one should notice neither church tried to tell the other church what to do or to command or control them. Their sentence was, "We trouble them not." And they simply wrote a letter making a request. There in verse 19, and this is a far cry from these hierarchical religious systems of man, where various congregations within the denomination are controlled and dictated by the higher authorities. Now, I don't have to mention any of them, but you could probably mention some of these other denominations that you know the churches, so-called churches, are controlled by the upper authorities, the upper echelon, if you will. And that is in no way scriptural. There's nothing scriptural about it. Nowhere in the Bible do you see one local church controlling another local church. Jesus Christ is the head, and the Word of God is the authority in every local church. Okay? All right. The second thing we want to look at concerning a local church as an independent institution is that local New Testament churches are to be separate from governments. Separate from governments. Separation of church and state. The Word of God teaches a complete separation between the spiritual and the secular. And the secular, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 21, they say unto him, Caesar's. Then said he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Now, there are some things that Caesar, because you're a human being and you live in society, and you're down here on this earth until our Lord gets us out of here, that you're going to have to abide by. There are laws and rules that you're going to have to abide by, and if they don't outright violate or try to make you outrightly disobey the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God, then you are to render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar. The Lord tells us in another place that the authorities are under His control, and that that there is no authority beside the Lord's authority, and He knows what's going on. And if you're supposed to pay taxes, pay taxes. If you're supposed to do this, do that. If you're supposed to go by law, go by the law. As long as it doesn't cause you to go against the Lord directly and against His Word, and it violate your conscience concerning whether or not you're doing right or wrong before the Lord. Now, Christians are to be law-abiding citizens. The Bible says that in Romans chapter 13. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. Now, that's what our Bible says. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, we don't understand that a lot of times, but that's what the Scripture says. And we have to believe what God says. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. In other words, if you resist God's authority and resist the order that God has set up, and you know the Lord's in control, you know that in your heart, and we don't understand it, what we see with our eyes and hear with our ears, and you ought to quit listening to all that garbage and those lies on that television newscast anyway. It says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. And if the intent of your heart is to mind the Lord, and you're sincere, and you're telling the truth in your life, you won't have a problem with authority. Okay, now, people that don't want to mind the Lord and want to have their evil way and go about their evil ways and disobey and be in disobedience, of course they're scared of authority. But the Lord said the authority is not there to be a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same, for he is the minister of God to thee for good. The Bible says God has placed the authorities and the powers there to take care of us that do good. So you can have confidence in that. And I'm a testimony to that. You know, I ain't never had no problem with any authorities, police or anybody, when I'm walking before the Lord. Right. Everybody else is in agreement with me. The Bible says when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. In other words, pay ye taxes. Pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. So what's the Bible teach us there? concerning Romans chapter 13, and the local New Testament churches are separate from governments. There's been a lot of churches say, well, it's scriptural for us not to pay taxes. I don't know what verses they were using for that, but and they got themselves into a lot of trouble. They got the churches in trouble. They got the people in trouble, and they fought a battle that was not scriptural. It's not scriptural. The Bible says, render, therefore be subject unto them, and render to them what you're supposed to render to them. God pays your bills. You know who pays your bills. God does. And the Bible says the Lord is able to give you much more than this. And He is. Taxes do not offend the Lord. And tribute does not offend the Lord. It's nothing to Him. Fear does not offend the Lord. Honor other men does not fear make the Lord scared. He's not scared of anybody. And if you're serving the Lord in sincerity and truth, you won't have a problem with that, and neither will the local churches. Christians may obey civil laws only in the case where they are compelled to. Obey civil law, disobey civil law is what it should say. Christians may obey a civil law only in the case where they are compelled to disobey God's law. Christians may disobey a civil law. In other words, just like we said a minute ago, if it comes to the part, look at Acts, in the book of Acts, chapter 5, verse 29. The Bible says, then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. If it ever comes to a point to where you are put in a position like Peter and the other apostles that were with him, put in that kind of a position to where obeying a civil matter or a civil law would cause you to disobey God, which is very rare, and the devil will try to put you in a place like that, but majority of us don't get into situations like that and don't have to get into situations like that unless the enemy is trying to attack your work, and he does, and try to attack your the work of the ministry and trying to take the ministry down. Then he might pull some legal stuff or some things like that. But the fact of the matter is, in our everyday walk with the Lord, we're not confronted with this kind of situation to where we have to disobey God when it comes to a civil law. Most of the civil laws are in the United States are still under moral thoughts and things like that. I say most of them, but there are some being tried and incorporated and trying to push through Congress and Senate and the courts and stuff like that, that we're going to have situations like that. But until you have come up to a situation like that, the Bible commands us that we are to be law-abiding citizens. Local New Testament churches are to be separate from governments. They're not to be up in government and stuff like that. Governments should not involve themselves with the establishment or support of any particular religious group except to offer security and protection, as it would for all citizens of the land. That's what made the United States special, was not anything having to do with capitalism and stuff like that. It was because the people honored the Lord and honored His word first. And that was what made America great. Okay, but we can see what's happening now, but that don't matter because this is not our home. All right, so local churches are New Testament, each local New Testament church is independent. Local New Testament churches are to be separate from governments. Okay, and another one is local New Testament assemblies may scripturally cooperate with other local churches. Well, what would be wrong with that? That's crazy to think that you have to isolate yourself. Just as long as one is not trying to control the other, of course they can cooperate with others. We see that all through the scriptures when the church started there in Acts, where one church was given to another church and collecting for poor churches and poor assemblies and things like that and trying to help other churches out. It would be a blessing and an honor. I believe the Lord would smile on that to see churches try to help each other out. They're not doing that today. They're isolating themselves within themselves, and it's not a competition assembly against assembly. I just got through preaching at a church over there and preached a message called Character versus Reputation. And asked them and challenged them whether or not they were a church of reputation or they're a church of character. And, you know, one church trying to out, it's like a race, who's going to be the best church in town or the best known church, or blah, 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 blah. That's not what it's about. It's not a competition between local assemblies. Local assemblies are under the same head and in the same body. We're part of each other. And nothing wrong with local churches may scripturally cooperate with other local churches. Independence does not mean isolationism. The local churches may scripturally cooperate in certain areas with other local churches of like faith in order, provided such cooperation is voluntary. And it doesn't violate the sovereignty or the independence or the autonomy of each church. And can do that. Now, local New Testament churches work together to support missionaries. I don't know in your church who you support, but I'm sure that the people that you support, there are many other churches that support that missionary also. That's scriptural. You can do that. 1 Corinthians, the Bible says so. And let me find this for you. 1 Corinthians, I hate it when I lose my place. But 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 through 3 says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches, plural, of Galatia, even so do ye." He's writing to the Corinthians. Okay, he's talking about the churches of Galatia, and then he's writing to the Corinthian church, or churches. "Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay him in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whosoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality under Jerusalem." Churches in Galatia and in Corinth working together to help Jerusalem, it sounded like there, didn't it? Acts chapter 11, verse 22, the Bible says, "Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that the purpose of heart, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." Churches work together to support missionaries and to help missionaries out. You see, Barnabas and Paul, and there were many churches that helped those individuals and supplied their needs and helped them go from one church to the other and done what was necessary to support those missionaries and support the preachers and support the work of God. Yes, of course, scripturally, local churches can cooperate with one another, with other local churches, to get the Word of God out and to get the work of God done. Local New Testament churches work together in social relief. Acts chapter 11, there in verse 22, we've seen that where they gathered their money together in verse 22. It says, "In these days," Acts chapter 11, verse 27, beginning there, "and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. You see, these people were in Jerusalem, prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch. And the people in Antioch got together and heard that when the dearth was going on, and determined in their hearts that they wanted to send relief to the brethren that were in Judea. So, which also, the Bible says, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So see why Saul and Barnabas were going around, they were also carrying gifts from one church to another. And churches were helping churches. And what a tremendous, wonderful thing that must have been. And any local New Testament churches work together in social relief. And these gifts, that's exactly what they were. They were the financial assistance that they got together and stuff like that were gifts. They were not loans. And that should not be what it is a loan. Anytime the Lord impresses you to help somebody, He's impressing you to help them. You're not helping them by putting them further in debt. I personally don't give loans. If somebody if somebody charges me with a need and the Holy Ghost impresses me that they have a need and I am moved to help them, I don't loan them anything. I give it to them. And the Lord has richly making sure that I know that He's pleased with that kind of giving. I'm not saying that there's such thing as loaning is business. Giving is love. There's a difference. And watch yourself in that, because money can make enemies out of the best friends, and can definitely break up brotherly love, and if it's not used in a real controlled environment. But now a gift only turns in good ways. It always turns to the good, no matter what, if it's a gift. Okay? We talked about local churches may scripturally cooperate with other local churches, and that they can work together to support missionaries. They can work together in social relief. And the local New Testament assemblies also were involved in regional fellowship. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 2, it says, "And all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia." Okay, and we see where they fellowship with one another. It said churches. Remember, plural, the churches of Galatia. They were fellowshipping together. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19, it says, "The churches, plural, of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you much in the Lord with the church that is in their house." Galatians chapter 1:22, the Bible says, "And was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea, which were in Christ." Plural, more than one church. And also in Colossians, were two churches that were to share the scriptures and other apostolic writings. It said, "And when this epistle is read among you, cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." So when they sent the epistle to Colossians, "And when the epistle is read among you," the letters read among you, "cause it to be read also in the church of the Laodiceans." Take it over there and read it, fellowship, and read the Word of God there, "and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea." And when you get done there, take it to the other churches, you see? So it is okay with the Lord, and it is scriptural. If it wasn't, if the Lord was against it, then it wouldn't have been done the way that we have read in the scriptures already today, you see. Our Bible is the truth. Sanctify them through the truth. Thy word is truth. Now, how do we know these things are true and how they're right? Because they were performed and they were spoken, and we see examples of it, and we see the truth in the scriptures. So let's recap just a little bit. The only thing that we talked about today was the local church is an independent institution, that each church is independent from each other local church, that local churches are to be separate from governments, that local churches may scripturally cooperate with other local churches, and that local churches is that they could scripturally cooperate with other local churches. They can come together and support missionaries, and they can have help one another out with social relief, and that they can also have regional fellowship. Okay, well, that's a good lesson for today. Let me give you the scriptures for this today. Are you ready? We're talking about the church is an independent institution. Acts chapter 15. Verse 18 through 33, we talked about. Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. Acts chapter 5, verse 29. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 through 3. Acts chapter 11, verse 22 through 26. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Acts chapter 11, verse 27 through 30. Romans chapter 15, verse 25 and 26. Galatians chapter 1, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. Galatians chapter 1, verse 22. Colossians chapter 4, verse 16. And there they are. That's the scriptures for today. And I pray that that you've got understanding from what we've learned today. The local churches is independent institutions. The Lord didn't He didn't put churches in geographic locations so they could isolate themselves from one another, which you see going on in society today. We are the body of Christ. We are one body, and we're not to be offended by one another. We're not to be in competition with one another. We're to be on our side. Sometimes you want to look at other Christians and say, whose side are you on anyway? You know? And sometimes it's like that. So let's just not ever let that be us. Let's not let that be us. We're following the scriptures. We're following the Lord Jesus Christ. We are part of the body of Christ and obeying the Lord. And God the Holy Ghost indwells us. We all bear witness of the same Spirit. And we should have no problems getting along. And the Bible says only by pride cometh contention. So let's learn and not let that be us. The local church is an independent institution. Okay, well, you have a wonderful evening, and I thank you for listening to this. And we will have another recording after this, if the Lord will. And I will talk to you then. Bye-bye.